at Your Real Biz Talk. My name is Rachel Branke, and as always, I am bringing you content that is going to target in on the important things you need for your business. But I'm not here for like quick hacks. I'm trying to give you timeless strategies that you're going to be able to use over time. We have a guest who's going to come on today, talk a little bit about overcoming entrepreneurship struggles from the very beginning of her journey, even now, because, you know, if y'all know me, my story, I've been doing entrepreneurship for 16 years and I still struggle and have squirrel shiny object syndrome and all this all the time. And sometimes it's hard to stay on task, or sometimes you just get overwhelmed. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the phrase, do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. I feel like that completely romanticizes this idea that if you're doing your passion, you're not allowed to be unhappy or have struggles. And if you do, then maybe you're not cut out. Like, I feel like it has that implication and it's not true. I love entrepreneurship, but I freaking hate taxes. And just because I chose this doesn't mean I should be like, woo, Uncle Sam, take my money, here's my taxes, because I chose to be an entrepreneur. That's not the way it works. Now, that's a silly example, but we're gonna dig in with our guest here in a little bit. Before we do that, I just wanted to give you an FYI. I've said this for a couple weeks now, and life just happened, but this is gonna be the last week for my free strategic time management masterclass that I have, rachelbranke.com/time. I was supposed to expire it last week, and we were gonna move into our real strategy workshop that's gonna be live. That was supposed to start today, but this is a obvious example of how life happens. I ended up overscheduling myself, which is kind of ironic considering it's a time management. But one of the things that you'll see, like, in that masterclass is talking about how to put the pieces together and how to move the pieces and how you don't have to power through and struggle, right? You know, I was supposed to be doing these lives every single night this week, but I knew that I wasn't going to be able to effectively serve all of you if I just was completely overwhelmed, exhausted, kids were starting evening swim and all this. And my whole mission is real business, real life. We're wanting to create a real business that is a supporting actor to give us the real life that we want. And this is a perfect example. I'm still trying to figure it out too. And so just thank you for bearing with me. If you've already taken the time class, the feedback I've gotten is amazing. Those that have not done it, snag it. And then we will be doing the free real strategic workshop that's going to be live next week. It's going to be June 15th, 16th, and 17th. And all the details are on the website as well. And if you sign up for the time masterclass, it's in there. So without further ado, I like to keep these really quick because y'all are busy entrepreneurs just like myself and all my guest. Let me go ahead and bring on my guest and we'll get going. And one thing I want you to think about with this, if you're watching live, you can drop it in the comments. If you're watching later or listening on a replay, reach out. We'll have it in the Facebook group, Real Biz Talk is the name of the group. And let's have a conversation. If you have questions, if you have struggles and you really don't know where to turn, you're in a good place. So you are here and we will be able to help you. Hey, can I do this right? I'm just doing this like every week in technology. Yay, I did it.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. I like the curly hair today.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm in the midst of Ironman training. And so I was like, oh, I have to shower or else I'm not going to have time after. So it is what it is. So, well, welcome. Welcome. Let's start off with you introducing yourself. I love for my guests to give their own bio because I'd love to hear it from your words and not me. And then we'll dig right in.
Sure. My name is Tavia Redburn. I am a birth and newborn photographer in Oklahoma City, and I own the Beauty and Birth, which is where we train birth photographers how to specialize in birth, get certified in birth photography, so they can go full-time doing what they love. And so I actually retired my husband in 2018 with my birth photography business, and so now I teach other photographers how to do the same thing.
So I have to ask, if he's retired, what is he doing while you're hustling and making all this cash?
Girl, so much. Like, he's doing all the stuff I used to do. So we homeschool our kids. And oh, so yeah. I was homeschooling and running both businesses, Tavia Redburn Photography and the Beauty and Birth, at the same time. So now he has like given me the gift of time so I can like focus on work, and he is taking care of the house. He's also an actor and a filmmaker. He's actually on set today. And so he's getting to pursue what he loves to do.
That's like the ultimate outsourcing here, right? Of the things that you don't necessarily want to have to do, like house and all of that. Not that you don't want to do homeschool, but I just come off the, like, I bow down to you because I had to do virtual learning this last year, 5 kids. Not my forte. I'll take adults any day to teach.
Yeah. And I always tell people, like, we chose it So it was different for us because, like,
yeah,
we weren't forced into it. And that's just a totally different situation when it's something that you choose versus something that you're, like, forced to do. So we were already in the groove, you know, whenever all of this happened. So it's a lot easier transition for us.
So, I mean, obviously, there's been struggles personal with business and all of that. But what has been one of the things very early on in entrepreneurship? So maybe it's when you first had photography business or with Beauty and Birth now. A struggle that you had and that you've overcome. And then we'll move into some that you still, even though you're so advanced, doing so well, so successful, we still struggle. But let's start with the beginning.
Totally.
Because many listening are probably sitting in that same spot right now.
Yeah. So whenever I first started, I think like a lot of photographers, I just wondered if I was even good enough to charge, you know, and it's like, at what point can I start charging a lot for photography? You know, a lot is relative. That's why I did air quotes. But I think in the beginning, a lot of photographers just need to know that they're valuable. Their time is valuable because when you're passionate about something, sometimes it's easy to feel like you'll do it inexpensively or for free, really cheap. And so I think that in the beginning, it was just hearing like, no, you are worth paying a high price for. And I think just experience helped me overcome that. And getting feedback on my work, that's something that I tell my students all the time, is like getting feedback from someone you trust, whether that's a peer or a mentor, getting feedback on your work so that you just have that confidence. You show up differently online and marketing yourself when you're confident in what you're doing and when you're confident in your work. And so I think in the beginning, that was a big hurdle for me.
Yeah, I definitely feel like not even just photographers, like entrepreneurs in general, that is almost like a rite of passage. You have to get through that whole almost overwhelmed burnout, not charging enough. You have a revelation one day. Everyone kind of has that moment, right? I can still feel the pages when I laid my head down and I was crying because I was so overwhelmed. I wasn't charging enough. But it sucks because I hate to see that suffering. But I do think that you, like you said, you learn a lot, you experience and grow from that. But you said something else is about feedback. In last episode, I had Lacey Nelson on, who is a leadership coach. And one of the things that we talked about is how to grow in leadership and also in entrepreneurship is to ask for feedback and get feedback. Girl, I'm 16 years into this, and sometimes I just don't want that feedback, so I'm not going to ask. So how would you encourage, what do you say to your students, I guess, like to really get them to ask? And I think especially when you're a creative and you're really, really in love with what you do, it's really easy for the emotions to get intertwined.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I don't know if this ever happened to you, Rachel, but I specifically remember a time when I asked for feedback on a photo that I thought people were going to love. I was like, there's nothing negative they can say about this. Like, everybody's just going to love it. And I went into it with kind of an arrogant attitude, honestly. And people ripped it apart. Like, it was like, the white balance is off. Like, the composition is no good. This and this and this. Like, skin color, all this stuff. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like I cried. Of course I cried. Like as creatives, you know, we're so emotionally attached to our work and our images. But I think that I learned a really valuable lesson in that I continue to learn today. And that's when, you know, when you put yourself out there, sometimes you don't always get the answer that you want, but you get the answer that you need in order to grow. And if I hadn't received that feedback, I would have continued to make those mistakes much longer. And so I think that if you're serious about growing your business and you're serious about improving, you have to just put pride aside and be willing to get that feedback on your work so that you know how to improve. And what a gift that is. You know what I mean? Like what a gift it is to have somebody speak that into you so that you can learn from what they've already spent time and money and decades learning. You can learn that quickly and start implementing right away. So it was hard to hear at the time, but it ultimately served me so well and served as a really good lesson moving forward in business to welcome feedback.
You know, and that's one of the things while you were talking, what came up for me is I've been working, well, like you have with your kids homeschool. I've been working with my kids this last year. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, I wish we would teach our kids to get feedback and like improve upon with that feedback. And I feel like especially a lot of times, and I'm not going to go into whole like standardized schools and the way schools are, but I feel like we're almost taught from kindergarten until 12th grade. You're just checking the box, turning in the assignment, you get a grade, you might get some feedback and move on. Whereas I remember the teachers that stood out best to me, and they were typically in writing and history and government, probably why I love that stuff so much, is that they would give me feedback and they would have you redo it again based on that feedback. So you were actively learning and it was taking and shifting the perspective can meet AB average, and then your parents are not that thrilled or whatever the standard was for you. Now it's been shifted to, okay, here's the bar where you are, and here's where you can go, and here's how you're going to get there. And for me, that is so impactful. And I'm making a mental note as we're talking about this, that I want to start doing that with my kids, because when they get out into whether it's entrepreneurship or they're working at a corporate job, you've got to have that self-responsibility to solicit for feedback and then use it, like you said. Something else that came up while you were talking was, I think, and I joke about this on my social a lot, is that I'll get unsolicited comments on my ad specifically, right? And I feel like, had I in the beginning gone through the process of, like you're talking about, not only asking for feedback and improving upon it, but if I had gone through that like rite of passage of, you know, get my little baby feelings hurt first and then put my big girl pants on, it probably would have helped me to develop a thicker skin for when those unsolicited comments come around. Not that I need to necessarily learn from them, but it would have been helpful to kind of have built up that stamina, if you will, of emotional toughness before, because it's going to happen. People are going to give unsolicited opinions whether you ask for it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it really, you know, everybody goes on their own journey of like figuring out when that is, but the mm-hmm. sooner that you can just get yourself to be in like, okay, I want to grow. And in order to grow, I'm going to have to get my feelings hurt. I mean, like, especially mm-hmm. when you're a photographer and your art is so attached to your emotions, being willing to hear that is so crucial for growth in your photography and in business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the things that I teach with my students in the accelerator program is we use the structure of REAL, R-E-A-L. So whatever action we're going to do, and it could take like feedback, it's research, evaluate, act, and then learn. So the learning aspect is taking all the data, even if it was like a failed promotion or, you know, your ads didn't convert to anything. What did you learn from this and this opportunity? I feel like a lot of people will go, and especially when it comes to feedback, they'll go, oh, I don't like that feedback. Nah, I'm going to move on from it. And they don't really engage in the learning process. And I'm raising my hand. I did it for many years. And even now, sometimes my team, they're watching, they'll give me feedback. And I might not be in the space to hear it, but I actually carve out time in like my admin days to go back and look over KPIs, look at feedback from customers, look at feedback from team. Because you hit it right on the head. We didn't even plan this, guys. I think this is probably one of the most crucial things in business. You can forget those 5 Pinterest hacks and reels and all of this. This type of information is what's going to leverage you. So that was in the beginning. Tell me, what is something more recent now that you've retired your husband, you're killing it in entrepreneurship, you're living the life you want to have now. What is something that you struggle with now as an entrepreneur?
You know, specializing in birth photography, 2020 was crazy. I know it was crazy for a lot of genres, wedding photographers in particular, but I think that now, living through 2020, especially as a birth photographer, has taught me how to really get down to what does my client actually want from me? Because we couldn't be in hospitals to photograph birth. And so it was like, okay, well, ultimately I have to figure out what is it that they want from me? They want photos of that experience. And whenever I could get in and really figure out like what my clients actually wanted, and I couldn't do it in the way that I was used to doing it. See, I hate using the word pivot because it just makes me think of Friends and everybody's mind.
I love that. Pivot. I say it all the time on the podcast. Pivot. It's true.
Yeah. Maybe that's just me. My mind goes to that. So then I start thinking about Friends. But really learning how to pivot, like how to look at your business and go like, okay, I don't have an option. I can't just stop shooting. I can't just stop making money. So what can I do to still serve my clients if it looks differently than it did before 2020? And so 2020 taught a lot of us a lot of really powerful lessons. And for me, that was a really big one to really get down to the core of like, why are people hiring me? And how can I still serve them even if it looks different than it has in the past?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there's a balance of, you are the expert. They're looking to you, whatever it is that you do, if it's birth photography, as a business coach, a lawyer, they're looking to you to lead them, but there's still an element that you have to meet them with what they want. It's funny you say that. I just saw a photographer. I was talking to her husband this morning, and during COVID, she had a newborn photographer. She obviously couldn't go do photos, but people still wanted to almost have like pose newborn photography. So she would send directions to the parents how to pose, take the photo, they would send it to her and she would edit it into composites, because that's ultimately, that's the output that they wanted. Was it exactly what she wanted to offer? No, but it's the whole pivot aspect. And yeah, so explain to me, what exactly did you discover in your pivoting and figuring out, okay, let me rephrase. What did you discover was different from what you had been offering before to what you realized that your clients truly wanted?
You know, I thought that I had to be there. Mm-hmm. I thought that I had to be there in person. And, you know, it wasn't only my business. It was my students. It's like I had all these photographers. Like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, you told me the key is specializing in birth photography. What am I supposed to do now? So I had my own business and my students to think about. And I was like, okay, we can't be there in person. And some photographers, depending on where they live, still can't be there in person.
Yeah.
And so like a lot of our hospitals are opening back up. So whenever I thought, okay, I thought I had to be there in person. I thought that I had to be there taking the photos. And I realized they just want this moment captured. They just mm-hmm. want this, these once in a lifetime photos. So we actually started offering two things. Number one was a coming home session. So that's where we met them at the hospital. And I hadn't seen anybody doing that, but I was like, okay, well, that's the closest thing we can get to photographing the actual birth. So we would meet them at the hospital, follow them home, photograph everything. And then we also, in addition to that, started offering virtual birth photography with different packages. So like I would teach the birthing partner how to take photos of the day, like teach them, you know, basic manual settings and like basic things that they could do. We would edit the photos, and there were different levels. Like I would even be on call for them. My students would be on call for their clients, to where if it's like, hey, I'm having this issue, we could walk them through how to handle it. And so when we couldn't be there in person, we realized, okay, how can we still serve these people to get these once in a lifetime photos? You know, it's, I felt mm-hmm. so terrible for all of our clients. Same with wedding clients and, you know, birth clients. It's like, you just happen to be having a baby in 2020 and
can't reschedule that.
All these things that they wanted. Yeah. It's like, they couldn't have their doula there. They couldn't have their photographer there. They couldn't have their mom there. And so it's like, how can we still get them those photos? And so I think that boiling it down to like what they really want and figuring out how to just think a little bit differently about how to do it.
So I know, or what I could predict, but I want to hear your answer first. Which of those two or both do you think are going to transcend pandemic and stick around as part of your offerings?
I don't know if that's what you, if this is what you were going to say, but I think coming home sessions.
Yeah, that was my instinct.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because you just think about it.
There's a lot of value in like, yes, the siblings meeting the baby is the big thing. Cause like, even if I could be there taking photos, the siblings, the older siblings couldn't be in the hospital. And mm-hmm. so I know as a mom, mm-hmm. that was something I really, really wanted, was to have those photos of my older kids meeting the baby. And so I think that it could be almost like a Fresh 48 style add-on after birth photography, where it's like, we're going to meet you, follow you home, grandparents, older siblings, meeting the baby and all of that. So isn't that so cool? Like what an opportunity to be kind of forced into something that you could continue to offer later on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So my youngest, she's going to be 7 in next year, but when I had her, it was massive flu season. So it wasn't COVID, obviously, but the kids couldn't come in to the thing. They met her through the window. It was on a ground floor, and our photographer, our birth photographer, got to take pictures of that. But that's what I went to when you said that, because as a, you know, as a mom, and this is where you want to get into the mind of the person that you're serving. You hit the word serving and selling to, what really do they truly want? And, you know, oftentimes I feel, you know, we give them buckets, we give them collections, we give them offerings, and then it's like, check the box. We're just going to continue with that. We're never going to change. And yeah, I feel like pandemic has led to some silver linings. Obviously, it's been horrible, you know, physically, emotionally, financially for a lot of people. But I like to look at these little silver linings, because I love to see the growth. And so, and I can also see the second one, where you're teaching your clients as well, because just because you teach them to do it doesn't mean they're never going to come back to you for something else either.
Yeah. And it really is kind of a different client that wants virtual birth photography instead of mm-hmm. someone actually there. You know what I mean? Like virtual birth photography, mm-hmm. I could see as an add-on for somebody who's like, I don't necessarily want to pay to have you there. So for a lesser fee, I'm willing to kind of DIY it with some guidance, like kind of next level DIY, but not really wanting to pay somebody to be there. So I could actually see both of them sticking around, but for sure coming home sessions is one that we've just like adapted even still into our pricing guide and everything else, because it was so popular. Like people were booking us just for coming home sessions.
I love that. So these were forced pivots, but do you, maybe let's go in between. We've talked about beginning, we've talked about now, but maybe in between, have you ever sat and forced yourself to pivot, and what led you to that? You know, not a pandemic necessarily, but realizing that you needed to completely change up offerings or pricing or messaging.
Yeah. So I think that in 2015, I switched from an all-inclusive model to ordering like in-person sales, which is like very popular now, but back then it wasn't as much, like not as many. It was a little bit like,
it was newer. Yeah.
It was, I don't want to say cutting edge, but like not as many people were doing it back then. And it was scary because it was like, there's a lot of client education that has to happen when you're offering something new. And it was the same with birth photography. Like when I started out in birth photography, I was one of the first ones to offer it in Oklahoma City. And there's a lot of client education that has to happen with all of that. You know, when you're shifting into specializing into something new, you know, then I realized I've got to put out a ton of content about what birth photography is and why people want it and why you don't want to miss it and all of this stuff. And it was the same with in-person sales. It's like I had to spin it and educate my clients on like why this was better. And it was better for both of us because I really was able to serve them in a better way, not just handing them a CD at the time, which is irrelevant now, which actually like goes to prove my point of, you know, in-person sales and why that's so much more beneficial for somebody to have an album or wall art versus digital files, because our technology is changing so quickly. So I think that when it comes to pivoting and looking at new offerings, it's all about educating your client and educating your community on why they need this thing. And that, of course, you fully believe that as well.
Well, and you honed in on something there about kind of being cutting edge or the first or only in that space to do it. I attribute a lot of the success, the different businesses that I have, of being one of the first or one of the only, you know, having very strong messaging, very strong offerings. But really, even if you, and it's easy, I think, as us that have been doing this for so long, we've reached a level where, you know, like breadwinner, we're providing all this, we're real biz, real life, all that jazz, but we want to keep growing. And so in order to do that, you need to do something that's different. And I know that's very difficult, can be very scary, because you don't want to like upset the whole apple cart thinking that, you know, oh, I'm going to try to be completely cutting edge. And then, oh my God, but what about what I've built? And so for me, I guess my recommendation, I don't know what you would say on these points, but try something new, but don't try everything new. Like I wouldn't scrap the whole thing, especially if you're the breadwinner of your family. But always look for ways to be cutting edge. How can you, even what products or services you already have, how can you create a new offer? Be different and new from how other people are doing it.
Yeah. And I think that really specializing, and so, I mean, that's how you got started, Rachel, like specializing in something really niche. And I think that that's a really easy way to stand out because, you know, we hear from photographers all the time, my market's so saturated. My market's so saturated. There's so
every market is right now.
I know. It's I can guarantee you, if you're listening to this, you think your market is saturated. Yeah. The way to stand out is to niche down. And it sounds counterintuitive. It sounds like, but I'm going to be restricting the number of people that I can reach. And that's what's so great about it, is because people begin to know you for that thing. You know what I mean? Like people began to know me as a birth photographer, and then I could start to expand and show maternity and newborn and other things. But people knew me as a birth photographer. And that's what really helped my business take off really quickly, was that specialization.
And it's easier for you. You know, I teach like a real simple method using like the reel we talked about earlier. And it's all about that. It's picking like one client, one serving position, one product, one offering, one social media. And it, after you look at the structure, you're like, oh, that's smart. I'm like, then why are so many people trying to offer so much stuff? And I want to do a whole episode just of case studies of different, I've been collecting some that I see of different companies. My husband brought up one today. We got an email from iRobot. What did they start out with? The robot vacuum. They had one singular product that they start out with. Now they have all sorts of handheld vacuums. Of course, his thing was, well, it's not a robot if I have to pick it up and do it. But what's the moral of the story for this? They came and penetrated the market with just the robot. you didn't have to vacuum, it does it for you. And now they're selling handheld vacuums. Like, they've expanded. But once they were able to corner the market and really penetrate, another one is, you have to look it up. It's called, it's Truff Oil or Truff Hot Sauce. It's truffle oil, basically, and they have like spaghetti sauce. They started with just oil and then they expanded to all these other products. So I guess my point with this, and much of what Tavia just said, is, you know, it's scary to niche down, very scary to think that, if I go smaller in the space, you know, there's going to be less people to serve. Actually, there's going to be more people because you're going to be able to go deeper and have more quality people to serve rather than like a whole bunch of people on very surface level.
Yeah. And one thing that I tell my students, and is actually one of the trainings that we do, is to figure out how many babies are born. Like, for people listening who might want to specialize in birth or maybe newborns or something that they feel like is so niche down, and really figure out how many babies are born in your city or town every year. And so I did this in Oklahoma County. It was 12,000. Well, how many of those do I need to hire me to run a successful business? And I said 100, but I actually need way less than 100. So it ended up being less than 1% of all the babies being, actually even smaller than that. I can't remember the, it was a tiny, tiny percentage. And it's like, once you think about it that way, you start to realize, oh, it's actually a very small percentage of the couples in my area getting married or the babies being born in my area that I need to run a successful business. And so putting numbers around it sometimes helped my brain, like, okay, I can do this. I just need, you know, 0.5% or whatever.
Well, now when I start to get overwhelmed with this kind of stuff of like, okay, you know, go narrower, but oh my gosh, like, I think to myself, oh, it's about service, right? If I have a product or service, whatever it is that you're doing, that somebody wants. And, you know, I kind of think of the analogy, and this is a little extreme, but oftentimes when I get in my head of like, oh, I'm not good enough, or I don't think I can do it. And you've heard this one before. The drowning example, when someone's drowning, they're not going to stop as you jump in to save them and go, wait, your stroke's wrong. Wait, you're wearing the wrong clothes. Do you have credentials? Are you a lifeguard? They want you to save them. And by you getting very targeted of going to help and save that person, that serve that person as imperfectly as it may be, or of how, you know, get overwhelmed thinking about how oversaturated the market is, that person needs you. And then they're going to tell you how great that you serve them, you know? And for me, it's, yeah, I think we just flip the mentality. Like you said, you can do it with numbers. You could do it even if I just help one person. And I just, because like with what you're doing, and I wrestled with this with business law for a while, is how am I making an impact in the world? Well, you're a great impact. You're capturing these moments these people love. And it's like you said it before, it's adding an experience to it. So I think it's so easy, entrepreneurs, we get into this mindset of almost like selling, we have to meet these numbers. And it's like, oh, but there's so many photographers, or there's so many lawyers, or there's so many this. Don't think about it that way. Just think about trying to find to serve one person, then serve the next one, and then serve the next one, and stay in that very narrow lane. And before you know it, you're going to be retiring your husband and hopefully yourself by a couple of years, maybe you can sit on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, 100%. And I love that example of the drowning person. Something popped in my head I was going to say and I lost it. But I really do think, creating content. Like, business becomes so much easier when you're focused on a really specific person. Because, like, the photography example, if I'm a photographer who shoots weddings and seniors and births and newborns, like, when it comes to, like, social media, or when it comes to blogging, or when it comes to whatever, however you're putting content out there, it becomes so much more challenging. You're like, well, my brides would like this, but my seniors would like that, but my seniors don't want to see babies. And it just becomes, so much. And it's like, but when you really narrow it down to a specific person, everything else in business becomes so much easier. It does.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, back in January of this year, so 2021, if you guys, when we're done with this, head over to Apple Podcasts, just search for Real Biz Talk Podcast for my name. And the whole January series talks very in-depthly on that. And, you know, circling this back around as we kind of close off here of struggles. You know, struggles can be something of whether it's imposter syndrome or just trying to figure out your messaging. But like Tavia said, I feel like a lot of that stuff gets cleared up if you ask for feedback, you act on that feedback, and then you're very purposeful in niching down, especially when you need to pivot. I feel like pivots are even more successful when you niche down. So this all works together. So suffering or struggles in business don't have to be some extreme thing. Often they're very rooted in a perspective shift that needs to happen and just really stepping back and going, how can I serve others and how does this serve me? And for me, that clears so much, like you said. It really guides much of our decisions in our business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. So good.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I will put all of your information in the show notes. So it'll be here on Instagram or either in the podcast show notes. You guys can check her out. Just an FYI, if you're just jumping in now, I have my free time masterclass is still up. It's going to be coming down this week, rachelbrakey.com/time. It has no sales pitch in it, just a 45-minute class talking through all my strategic time management, sharing my schedule and everything so you guys can see how to fit the puzzle pieces of your time together. And oh, as always, we will be discussing this in the Real Biz Talk Facebook group. So just search it, come join. We'll have a thread specific to this episode. So just jump in there. We can chit chat. We'd love to help you guys out and have a good one.
Thanks, Rachel. Bye.
Bye.